Hey everybody, and welcome to Naruto Reviewto, a Naruto rewatch podcast. My name is Kim, and I'm joined today by Jesse.
Hi everyone, I'm Jesse. I'm here to Reviewto Naruto.
And Tim.
Hey everybody, it's great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Hell yeah. You're welcome back anytime.
Hey, thank you so much. Jesse, did you ditch I'm here to hyperfixate? Or?
I forgot. And okay. You know what? That one just came to me 2 seconds before.
I love it. The issue is that since I'm editing the podcast, I'm in like a weird time spiral. So I don't remember anything that we've done in episode 5,
no.
6, mm-mm. 7, 8. But episode 3 and 4 are really, that's like, yes. I'm like a weird parent who keeps bringing up like... stories of when you're 16. Like, to me, Jesse, say your intro like you did in episode 4. And I have no idea if you did in episode 5. But.
Well, now it's a classic.
I did.
Now it's a classic.
Yeah.
I did do something That's... different in the last 2 episodes. So, and I'm sorry, I have no idea what it was.
Let's go to the tape.
Wild card, Jess.
Yeah, truly. It's different every time, you know?
Crystal Coke.
Ooh. Oh, well, okay, halfway there with the crystals and then lost me with the Coke, so.
Was it Pepsi? I can't remember.
I think it's Pepsi.
Yeah, Crystal Pepsi. Mm. Crystal Coke are just like 2 parts of drugs.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that's just a drug.
It's just a super drug.
Crystal and Coke.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yes. So let's go ahead and warm up our Naruto brains with some Naruto facts.
Yes.
So we are back with more Japanese voice actors. So let's talk about the voice actress for Sakura Haruno. And she is Chie Nakamura. So she got her acting start doing children's theaters. So she got her start on the stage. And when she got older, she wanted to become part of the Takarazuka Revue, which is an all-female musical theater troupe. It's very famous and very dope. And they do huge Broadway-style shows with nothing but all ladies. And it is super gay. It's
okay.
Great.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome.
They divide all the troops up into just like the girls at the top are basically like Broadway stars. Hmm. And all of the squad names are named after flowers. Aww. And it's like a little hierarchy. It is very cool. Yeah. I am a big fucking fan of that whole concept. So anyway, she gave up her dancing career, but her little sister suggested she go into voice acting. Some of her other roles include Kaori Fudo from Devilman Crybaby, Kawakami from K-On!, Wave the Swallow from the Sonic games, and Sophie... yeah. And Sofita Alexandra from the Soul Calibur games.
Yeah.
She mostly does movie dubbing, and she's sort of the official voice for both Amy Adams and Kirsten Dunst.
Okay.
Oh my god. That's so funny.
So if you go to Japan and you see an Amy Adams vehicle, it will be done by the voice actress of Sakura, which is very funny.
Hell yeah.
Kakashi Hatake's voice actor is Kazuhiko Inoue. He debuted as a voice actor back in 1973 and has been working ever since then. He is an industry giant with a huge range. It just seems like a cool-ass dude. He set up his own voice acting school called Bebox to help foster the new generation of voice actors.
Okay.
And being a second-generation atom bomb survivor, he feels very strongly against war. In his autobiographical piece, Aini Suite, Inoue expresses his longings for world peace and his love and respect for the ocean and Mother Earth.
Aww.
He's just a cool-ass dude.
I like him.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. Some of Inoue's other roles include Nyanko-sensei from Natsume's Book of Friends, a role he won an award for, which if you have never seen Natsume's Book of Friends, I highly recommend it. And it is the furthest thing from Kakashi that you can think of. This character is like a little goblin cat that just screams and wants to get drunk.
Okay.
Oh my god, that's
well,
so funny.
I feel like Kakashi likes some of that, but that, you know, I don't know. I don't know anything about Kakashi, really.
Jared Mesa from Mobile Suit Zeta Gundam, Cyborg 009 from Cyborg 009,
ooh.
Decad from Drakengard 3, Hattori Soma from Fruits Basket, who is so good, Zeke nice. And Kamu from the Fire Emblem series, I don't know if it's Camus or Kamu, Eri Yuki from Gravitation, which if you grew up in like the aughts, like the early aughts and you're into anime and you also wanted something a little gay, you know about Gravitation. Cars from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Hell yeah.
the dub voice for Prince Eric from The Little Mermaid.
Okay.
Nobunaga Oda from Neo 2.
I'm playing that right now. I just met him. He's hot in it.
Hell yeah. Yeah, that's Kakashi, baby. Kuraha from Noragami, who's the lion dude, Professor Elm from Pokemon, Donato from Tokyo Ghoul, and the Japanese dub voice for Samuel Drake from Uncharted. Also, the main character, Akira Kogane from Voltron, like the original Voltron.
Okay. Oh, that's cool. I love hearing about this stuff. I think
matching,
let's just put it this way. All anime likers know the number one joy above watching and enjoying animation from Japan is figuring out which voice actors play which characters across the board. And that little jolt of positivity. Mm, I wish they could bottle that. I wish they could bottle that.
Right? It's a lot of fun. So, without any further ado, let's get straight into episode 25. The 10th question, all or nothing.
Yes, yes, yes. We've had a wild time up until this point, so I'm excited to see how it all ends. I mean, we've gotten through a lot of the banana pancake stuff of it.
yes.
And it's been quite a little bit of time since I watched this episode. But, you know, I think that that could bring a different type of energy to it in a positive way.
Yes.
I agree. I'm also very rusty on what happened in this episode. I think it's about like 2 weeks or so now.
Hey,
or
listen,
it feels like 2 years in the timeline we are in currently.
There's a pandemic, so, you know. we should quickly say, hopefully everyone who's listening to this, probably a month or two since we're recording it, is doing well. Hopefully things in April or whatever the month that comes after April, things are not horrific, and we are wishing you all the best, and hopefully our words will be an electric blanket upon your lap. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And you could reminisce fondly, because hopefully the quarantine is over by this point, being very optimistic, but we are recording this in the shit.
Well, our president, I think, is going to make us go back to work on Easter, so I think we'll be fine.
Cool.
Love it.
Great. Awesome. We all have quarantine brain, so.
Yeah.
Speaking of being... in sadness, we get a brief cameo of the swing of sadness as the clock ticked down on the final 15 minutes of the exam. Time for the 10th question. Before we get to that, time for the rules of despair. And honestly, the best thing about the ninja world is you can say shit like rules of despair unironically.
There's so many like phrases they just throw about in this show. And since I'm watching dubbed, I'm always like, is this a translation issue? It appears it's not.
No.
Ninjas are ninja because they are extra. You have to be exceptional to be a ninja.
I gotta say, I really do love the ASMR trees at the very beginning of this episode, where it's just like the tree sound for like 10 seconds or something, the trees in the wind. I did enjoy that.
That does sound nice. Meanwhile, all the Genin squad leaders are just chilling and vaping on their jewels. They gossip about how Proctor Ibiki is a pro at torture and interrogation and is the king of the Anbu Guantanamo. Just the kind of dude that is perfect to handle a room full of children.
This bit of information was just too much for me, but also, again, they're child soldiers, so I guess you want a war criminal. It's like, hey, we got Donald Rumsfeld here and Dick Cheney to teach your kids the basics of the maths and the food pyramid.
Oh, man. It is funny that they bring in, like, they don't even bring in, like, the mediocre, interrogator into the tuning baby exam. They bring in the fucking top of the top of the top of the line, Ibiki, who's, like, known for his wild ways of interrogation.
Yeah.
I also want to say, I 100% would have broke in this test. I would have left that fucking room. I would have not looked back.
I probably would have fucked it up some different way due to my own hubris, but that means that's a 30% chance to pull a Naruto, and I appreciate that.
That's very true.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't have the guts to stay. I would have, Jesse, I would have been on your squad, and we would have been like, see you.
Yeah, that, I think I was also practical and I'm like, well, the smart thing to do would just be leave and just take it next year. I'll work at my dad's car dealership or something and maybe Village of the Hidden Leaf. Yeah, it's fine.
So, they have to decide whether or not to take the 10th question. If they decide not to, they fail but can come back next time. If they take the final question but whiff it, they can never take the tuning exam ever again. What a twist.
Oh my god. So, where I'm sitting, and I hope our listeners that have not watched the show are appreciating me being wrong and hopefully being their voice to some extent, is, you know, we talked about that whole, like, movie phenomenon where it's like, oh, everything interesting is happening in this movie or this TV show. But obviously, it's a movie. It's a TV show. Of course, the interesting things are happening. But yeah. The extent to which Squad 7 is going up against hurdles is making me be like, is there some motherfucker in the background being like, oh, we don't want Naruto to pass. We need to have him set up against Kakashi. We need to have him. We need to have Donald Rumsfeld fucking waterboard him to make sure he doesn't pass. So that's kind of like the flavor I'm getting right now. This feels very the invisible hand of capitalism is trying to stop them.
Oh. That's an interesting perspective. I never would have really thought about that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm often wrong, though, by the way you guys are like, oh, that's interesting.
We're being coy.
a little bit coy. I think that, like, yeah, Naruto, obviously the show centers around Teen Summon, and, like, more things will happen to them than other ninja, but, like, I think we learn about other ninja as we go on, and they are all kind of thrown through the ringer for the most
part.
That's
true. Yeah. I mean, Haku had to kill all of his friends, so, you know, it's not that. I bet that was an interesting story, and it could have lasted 8 episodes as well.
Yeah, and, like, Shikamaru and Choji are there as well, like, taking a big duke of just, like, oh, shit, oh, we're children.
Yes.
So, ya boy Ibiki is mind-freaking the entire exam, and every child has a small existential crisis. Sakura is worried about Naruto as more and more examinees drop out.
I love Sakura in this moment of, like, I see Naruto struggling, and this poor boy, there's, like, she has done the calculations. She has, the math is flying around her head, and she knows that Naruto cannot pass at all, and he will ruin his future. So she's like, I'll do it. I'll take bullet. Yeah. We can all go down together. I don't care, man. You're my pal. I'll take it. That was just such a good moment.
She's too nice.
She is too nice.
She is the long-suffering mom for us. Oh, yeah. Just, like, having to wipe their asses every single day.
truly.
Yeah. She should believe in Naruto, though. He is sometimes stupid enough to get things done on accident.
Yeah. That's true. No, that's very true. And I think, well, we watched quite a few episodes. She does get better at, like, believing in Naruto and, like, trusting him and stuff like that, but I just love how this was such, like, a cute moment, I think. And also, I heavily related to that because I feel like if I was put in that position, I would have done the soccer of, like, my dumb friend is just not going to make it.
Right.
I'll take the bullet.
Like, your friend is... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Kim.
Oh, sorry. I was just going to say, and she knows that he's probably too proud to be like, I drop out. Yeah. I'm a big pussy and I wah-wah and wet my diaper.
Yeah, because you could definitely see a situation where your friend is not gifted when it comes to taking tests, and everyone knows it. So in our normal high school, they would rather fail than the embarrassment of being like, yeah, I'm too stupid to take this. I mean, that's some real shit. That's like stuff that I'm sure happens every day in our system.
Mm-hmm. Just as she is about to drop out so he can take the exam again, Naruto raises his hand and then yells out, fuck your pussy attempt to make me not believe it. Give me that fucking Q because I've got an A, and defeats Ibiki's peer pressure jutsu.
I feel like I found myself when taking notes for you know, this. It's I'm running out of ink on my digital writer machine. Of this was a Naruto moment of like he just pulled a Naruto. Mm-hmm. Him standing up and screaming at the teacher is so fucking funny.
And it's like he forgets everybody else is in the room, and he's just like, "This is a challenge to me."
Yes.
Directly.
Yes. Back-to-back great moments here, okay? We have Sakura, we have the Sakura moment, and then we have the Naruto moment, and I don't care, I got goosebumps, it's good, it made me feel good, I smiled. And I also love that Naruto standing up to the teacher immediately makes the entire classroom be like, oh, hell yeah, I got this too, actually.
He has, like, he can buff his friends with his dumbass energy. And you need that sometimes, I think.
Oh my god, that'd be a great concept for a bard.
Yeah, I'm too stupid to... Yeah.
We love our strong and dumb son. Turns out the final question was the question to continue the test or not, and everyone who stayed passed it.
Oh my god.
Jesse, I agree with you. I got giddy watching my children succeed in a very, because in the beginning of the episode I was like legit stressed out my own self, because I was like, oh my god, look how stressed out the children are,
right?
And then I was like, oh my god, Tim Lanning is stressed out now too.
It's a good like emotional nut, you know?
Yes.
Like,
oh yeah. definitely.
Beep, beep, beep. Those 9 questions before, only there to see if you could be sneaky. Truly, the winning move was to do nothing like Naruto.
Oh my god.
What a test, man. I wish my high school experience had gone in this way at all. Like, oh, you just have to believe in yourself to make it through.
Yeah, which, shit.
To be fair, I probably would have failed as well, yes.
Yep, that's what I'm saying. Like, I cannot study up in self-esteem. No, this is a subject I have never mastered.
Oh my god.
I would have answered all the questions and then maybe gotten mad that we didn't get points for the tests, and then I would have every test going forward asked if, like, so is the 10th question just us staying here for the next like the rest of my ninja career, and everyone would have to tell me to shut up and kick me out of school.
Well, and I love too that Ibiki almost gets mad at his own, like, thing, because he's like, Naruto didn't answer a single goddamn question. And then he literally is like, played myself. Like,
yeah! Congratulations.
Yes.
Naruto then pretends like he did everything on purpose and totally didn't stumble ass backwards into passing.
I did say, Naruto really playing it chill right now, huh?
Yeah! Like, Sakura immediately picks up on just like, oh, he didn't. Yep, nope, he had no idea what was going on.
That was so good.
Ibiki then shows him his gnarly torture scars to drive home the point that information is valuable to ninjas and also to give them further psychological damage. This is truly a man not to be fucked with.
Yeah.
The last question. Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to say, his whole speech here, like, it's weird because it's very inspirational, but also the minute you break it down, he's trying to make it inspirational to be a child soldier.
Yeah.
Which is, well, it's like, okay, it's cool in the Naruto universe to a point, but, like, it is funny to just be like, oh, wow.
Yeah, it's definitely some indoctrination bullshit stuff of like, all right, if someone gives you a mission, you should die for it, even if that mission is to go to the Cold Stone Creamery and get an ice cream they don't have, you will die for that mission.
Because his head looks fucked up. Oh, he's got like moon craters on his head, and he's like, I had a man put out 20 cigars on my head as a joke, and I lived.
Oh, my god.
Yeah, it's like, but what if you didn't have a man put 20 cigars out on your head? I'm sure that would have been fine, too.
He's like, that's the next test. I'm going to put out 20 cigars on all your heads.
Oh, my God.
You all got to be ugly as fuck to be a ninja.
I did kind of freak out when I saw his head. Because you see the little scars, and then you kind of imagine. And then when you see it, like, oh, fuck.
Yeah,
How are you still alive?
The last question was the most important one, though, because it was gauging if you're a rad brave lad or a piss baby coward. First exam complete.
I'm proud. I'm proud of them. They did good.
Yeah. They did. They did very, very good, I think.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
Yeah. I would have failed. I know I would have failed.
Oh, absolutely. I would have been working at that Ninja Coldstone Cream.
Yes. Mentioned. Yes, same.
They would have had to fight me and they would have won. Oh my
God. I would have failed that too. Lose your goddamn job at the Coldstone Creamery.
Oh my God.
Suddenly, a babe burst through the window like a fucking cannonball, showering tens of children with shards of glass. Oh, her name is Anko, and she is as dramatic as she is hot. She screams at the children to follow her to hell.
That's exactly how it goes. I don't know what else I can add to that. That's exactly what happened.
I want to clarify based on some previous comments on my end. I was remembering a hot lady and the chainmail question. And Anko was basically me being like, are we going to see her fucking titties? Is she wearing mesh? Is her fucking titties out? And I'm still not sure what the answer to that is. I think no, because it's a children's show, but it absolutely looks like she has like mesh on. And if you were in the real world, you could stare and see her areolas and so forth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That chainmail she's got on, it is form-fitting.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Like,
Both
her titties are cupped.
Like, that's the thing. Here's the thing. Every time I see Anko, her titties are out, and I just cannot, like, how is she doing that? How are you having raw mesh chainmail on your actual titties like that? Like, I can't. They're either, like, just so chafed that they're callous now, or...
She's got callous nipples!
She is worn perfectly smooth, as is the ideal. She is so smooth, like so clean.
Oh, no!
Because they give her... So, obviously, the chainmail area is a slight different color than her skin, but the fact that they give her that jacket that she wears, it almost always seems like maybe she's doing it to cover her napples. And now I'm online to look. I see her glow up from Shippuden or Boruto. I don't know what. Look at you, girl. Get it. So, yeah, I'm not too sure what the thing is there, but I bet I could Google pretty quickly and find some spicy art of her.
Some very informative art.
Yeah. Look at all these snakes.
Look at all these snakes.
I'm still laughing about her nipples getting chafed clean off. Like a heel callus, like where your nipple used to be. I'm just like, I'm grabbing my boobs right now in pain.
I know.
Same. Just imagining it.
Just.
Is that why she's so powerful?
Yeah. That must be it. Yeah.
Well, you know, you got to be hard to be a ninja. So sometimes you get crater head. Sometimes you become perfectly smooth as a Barbie doll.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, I have a crush on her and I love her.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, she's good.
She's very good. 78 entrants left. The next test is tomorrow. As Ibiki cleans up all the exam papers left behind, he notices Naruto didn't write down shit and is like, this bitch, LMAO.
My favorite moment of the episodes. Not true, because that's the third favorite moment of that episode, I think.
The tune-in exam rules. All in all, this is quite the treat. It is very, it's funny, it's well-written, it's like... bananas, the tonal shift going back and forth, but I gotta say most of it works, and it kind of throws you into this whole like, hey man, you thought the bingo books were wild, listen to what their tests are and it lets you as the viewer just kind of get ready for anything in this magical world. Sure, there's magic and bridges and walkie-talkies and rabbits that don't, you know, that are substituted. But, you know, you get a little more into, like, the stakes, I guess you'd say.
Yeah, absolutely. And just, like, just for me, like, one story trope that really just, like, pings my receptors is, like, tournament arcs mm-hmm. as well as like challenges.
Yeah.
Like the fucking fourth Harry Potter book was my fucking favorite as a kid. Because it's all these tests they have to do.
Yes.
And this is like, yum, 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 yum. This is like the perfect distillation of that treat for me.
Agree. I love a tournament arc like so much. And I love how they tune in exams. It's not just like a, you know, black and white tournament arc. It's like, here's a mess of things that you have to go through, but also it's a tournament arc.
Yeah.
Yes. It's not Master Roshi in disguise, like, coming to kick Goku's ass if he can. Like, it is just a bunch of kids in a forest, and a Dracula is there.
Yeah.
A Dracula is there.
Yeah, yeah. And much like a Harry Potter, it's like, oh, some of you Cedric Diggory types could get murdered by a snake. Who's to say?
Yeah!
Never know. Yeah,
exactly. Speaking of, the next test is going to be conducted in the Forbidden Forest. I mean, the Forest of Death. Will they have to fight Voldemort? Who knows?
Hopefully there's not a lot of snake content.
Oh my god.
Also, I feel like this is a Naruto review to first. We got through the first episode in less than 30 minutes.
Yeah. I
breezed through.
We're trucking along.
I gotta say, we should probably more often watch watch three episodes of Naruto, go through a pandemic, cancel some recordings due to all logical reasons, and then come back and then, you know, talk about it. You know, sure, we maybe didn't have 48 minutes of tangents, but, you know, here's one. I'm looking up fan art of Anko. And now I'm in the cosplay zone. And people are more or less going with that it's see-through, you know?
Wow! Okay. Okay, I'm going to look up Anko cosplays now, too.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So none of them have become worn smooth with nipple. They have bra and thing underneath. But I feel like that they are going with the lore that, yes, it is it's see-through.
She's got, like, okay, I'm looking at a picture of, like, Anko art, and she's got, like, good cleavage. Her titties are up. So my conclusion is she's wearing a tape bra, like, I almost called her Kate Kardashian. What's the main Kardashian's name?
Kim.
The big Kim. That's my name.
Hey, wait, whoa. What the fuck?
Oh, my.
Yeah, because there's a few shots of it, too, where... in the cleavage zone, it sort of does look like it's bunching in a way that it looks like it's fabric in the middle. And 13-year-old Tim, who still lives inside 33-year-old Tim, was mad. And then a couple minutes later, that was gone. I was like, yay! Maybe that was a little bit of her titty meat being pushed together strangely from mesh.
Oh my god.
Oh, these cosplays. Hello, nerds, is all I gotta say.
Hold on. I'm on game FAQs right now, and the title of this forum is Anko really naked under that coat?
Oh, that's a good question.
And that's a great question, because isn't that true of everyone? I think the answer is yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So far, the comments are inconclusive.
I think I see a little nipple in this Anko.
Oh my god.
Oh.
My.
Oh, share it. Okay. Oh, I gotta see it. I gotta fucking see it. Please. Anko plus cosplay plus nipple. Please.
Oh my god.
My little eyes are just like zooming in. Enhance computer showed me nipple.
I mean, these anime cartoons, I'll tell you what, some of them are quite sensual, even if they're for children. You know, it's a different culture.
God. All right, I've moved on over to the IGN boards. Does Anko from Naruto not have nipples? Is the title of this one.
This is an important lore question. Oh my God.
Someone said she had that fingerprint remover in Men in Black.
IGN boards, new best boards. Wow. I didn't see a nipple.
Thank you, Jedi Annihilator, for that one.
I guess that could be a nipple.
These ladies are extremely fucking hot. Just saying.
Yeah, this one has... She's covering up nipple with a kunai. And probably Photoshop, if I'm being quite honest.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
That makes sense. She's hot.
Oh, no. I scrolled too far. There are, like, pictures of children in Halloween costumes coming up.
No, no, no.
I don't like that. I don't like that.
Abort.
Abort.
All right. Episode 26.
That's, well, you know what? We had a lot of recap to cover, so we just inserted Anko cosplay nipple lookup corner with the recap territory. So.
Yeah.
We had the Kakashi horny corner, and now we're going to have the Anko horny corner.
Yeah.
Which is concluded.
Well, let's not be too hasty.
Does it ever really conclude? Yeah. Being horny for Naruto characters never ends.
Yeah. So
that's a constant. That's a rule when you're watching Naruto.
Yeah. Special report, live from the Forest of Death. New opening! This is the one I accidentally fucked to, and it is Haruka Kanata by Asian Kung Fu Generation, and it owns. Who wants to talk about this new opening?
I love this new opening
so much! Yeah. Ah,
I don't skip it.
I scream!
Yeah. This is an all-timer, friends. This is honestly Full Metal Alchemist levels of a good opening. A JoJo opening of goodness. The animation, the Naruto going feral, just the song ruling it, feeling quintessentially anime with pumping you up and screaming and going back and forth. Goddamn, it rules. It honestly is probably, I think if I do top 10, I think if I made a top 10, 7 of them would be from Full Metal, and then I'd be like, this seems wrong, and I'd get rid of a couple. it's up there for me.
This is such a good one. I think this is such like a Naruto-ass opening, too.
Yeah.
Like, it has the hype, and it has all the characters in it, and like, there's a lot of movement, they're all fighting, but it's also really good to like introduce you to who's on what teams and stuff, too. I love this opening. I really like the song, too. Like, the song is just, it's just hype.
Yes.
Like, it's good.
Yeah, and it does something that I love about good openings from an the animation standpoint is basically showing off what you're about to get into this season, like a little little preview, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we are about 6 episodes, give or take. Maybe even 4, 5. So of where I have seen all of, so we're very close to me being caught up, and I got really excited because it was like, oh wow, it feels like I'm finally going into this uncharted territory of Naruto, and the intro song, while being a banger, is just showing you it's a teaser, right, of what we're getting into, and I'm so fucking pumped. I'm gonna be looking at Gaara a lot more and be paying attention to the snake motherfuckers a lot more. They do a really good job of being like, it feels to me, if my assumption is by the next intro, the snake looking person will be like the main bad guy, but like we'll just get a taste of him. Whatever he does, by the end of, unless there's like a really long time between, which sometimes happens for anime opening, but if it feels like the next anime opening is going to be like, he turned us all into snakes.
Oh my god.
Or he's going to like run away or something. Who knows?
Also, this song just sounds a lot younger than the past one. Like, the past one was dad rock.
Yes.
This is, like, hype as shit, fun. It's kind of punky. And, like, Asian Kung Fu Generation does a ton of shonen openings.
Okay.
Oh,
and there's something about, like, the lead singer's voice. Like, when he goes hard, he gets kind of screamy.
Yes.
But it's, like, really nice and, like, fun and passionate. I love Asian Kung Fu Generation. And, the song is, like, melodically very fun and interesting.
It's so good. And like even Naruto's punch at the very end is just, it's so good. Like the way they animate, oh my god.
Yeah.
I'm literally doing the thing that Tim talked about at the very beginning where I'm talking about how they animate a punch, but I don't care. I'm gonna talk about it anyway.
No, I love it. I love it.
The way he like looks at the camera and like punches it, but like his pupils change size and like the guy's screaming in the song, it's just good. It's such a good opening.
This is one to turn up in the car and like scream, sing along to, even though you don't know the words.
Yes, yes.
So, just as we're about to get into the really fun part of the Chunin exam, who else should literally rock up but Konohamaru the Pest? He and his idiot gang literally explode out of a cardboard box in front of everyone.
This is the rudest thing they've ever done. This is they introduce hot titty teacher and then they Konohamaru remember us? No, thank you. This is my notes are, is this canon? Is this a TV? What is this? What is happening? Who is the Prince of Tennis? Is the Prince of Tennis, is that part of Naruto?
So, oh my god. It's not canon, for sure.
No.
But,
absolutely
you
not.
Know, you gotta fill your episodes with... I mean,
they spent
villains.
Their budget, they spent their first check on the opening, like, fuck.
that is exactly what happened, yeah.
Yep. So they, like, fucking show up in a rock, or in a box that's shaped like, that looks like a rock. It's not even shaped like a rock.
No.
And Naruto's like, I am... literally about to take the Chunin exam. What the fuck do you want? And these abominations in the shape of children are now journalists and want to interview Naruto about the Chunin exam. And Anka is just like, cool, I'll wait.
Yeah, she's like, oh, super impatient through everything else. And then when the Konohamaru gang shows up, she's like, oh, you guys gotta do an interview for the academy? Yeah, no problem. Go for it. We got all day, man.
Yeah, and Anko hates children. Why is she being nice to them?
Yeah, this broke my immersion. I don't like the show Naruto anymore, but...
Oh, it's just, it's so bad. It's so bad because, like, one, it's 100% fourth wall breaking, and not in, like, a cool, coy way. It's just, like, Kakashi's running to get the VHS, which I did enjoy that it was a VHS.
That is funny, yeah.
And then, like, just a mess of other things is happening. I didn't watch the recap. I just, like, skimmed through for the, like, filler parts, which was same. Not really worth it, but I did it anyway.
It felt like a fever dream. It felt like I took bad LSD and mushrooms or something, and, like, the people what were on my TV were talking to me, and if I was on a substance, I probably would have started crying.
Oh, yeah, because it's all just like, hey, remember when we captured that cat?
Yes.
Remember when Naruto shitted everywhere?
Like, I get, they set it up as, like, each person sort of narrating a section, which I thought was interesting at first, and then, you know, but, you know, it, good on them, you know, anime gonna have recap episodes, right? So good on them for, I guess, trying something fucking absolute bonkers, and... animating and putting the goddamn script in front of the actual characters and being like, wait, Naruto Shippuden, which I still think his name is Shippuden, even though I know it's Uzumaki. Naruto Uzumaki Shippuden has to is gonna say the words the King of Tennis or the Prince of Tennis in front of the Forest of Death. Excuse me, what the fuck is happening?
Oh yeah, treat.
Yeah. I didn't get the Prince of Tennis thing because at this point my brain was just going full, like, TV fuzz.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I watched it without subtitles to see if I could understand it. I'm just like, all right, I'm going to flex my weeb skills and see if I could, like, pick it up. And I'm like, I can follow along pretty well, but it's probably because I already saw all of it before. But there is a moment where Sasuke's just like, Sakura, shut the fuck up, when she's, like, gushing over him, which was so fucking harsh, and I laughed.
Yeah.
That did happen.
I have the note ninja dance. I don't know what it refers to. I mean, I'm sure I laughed or screamed or had blood running down my eyes, but all in all, it elicited an emotion, which means it's art.
Yes, exactly.
I took almost no notes for this. I think I took more notes on the opening song than I did the actual episode.
Understandable. One other thing I wanted to note is that we get to see Kakashi finger Naruto's butthole again.
Oh my god.
Spent, like, a long time on it. It's like, hey, remember when Kakashi stuck his whole fist up Naruto's ass? Yep.
Here it is again.
Yeah, yeah.
Remember when he piloted him like a Muppet?
It's like, yeah, is this supposed to be the recap things that need to be recapped in order to, you know,
no,
go
it was
forward?
Like the cat.
The cat's coming back, Jesse. Shut up. I know it. You can't fool me. I appreciate you trying to throw me off the scent, but I'm on the scent. I can smell it. It's a cat.
Yeah, so Konohamaru is like, good fucking luck. we're out of here, and then we get to the real important part of the episode, other than the opening. We get a new ending. It's called Harmonia by Rhythm. It's cute.
This song sucks shit. And
I hate this ending.
And the ending sucks shit. It's horrible.
What?
Yeah, it's bad. It's top, it's bottom tier. It's bottom tier.
I can't believe I'm among enemies. I can't believe I'm in the forest of death and you both have transformed and I don't know
we're
you
snakes.
Anymore.
We're the snakes in the forest of death.
I'm trying to come up with something positive to say about it.
I like the background.
Can't.
The background with the pink flowers is cute. Now, Ino and Sakura, creepy. Top tier creepy. Hey, I cannot handle it.
The way they're weirdly like dancing the whole time. Yeah,
they're
no.
doing a step touch, which is a classic white person dance move.
Okay.
I'm really quite offended that you would come for it.
Well, let us go back to our Christian upbringings. I don't know how to dance. In fact, I think it's wrong. I was raised Baptist, so.
They're too close. They are not having any room for Jesus. You know, too close. Bad ending.
No room for the Lord. I like it. I thought it was cute. I like the song. I thought it was sweet. I like their harmony. I like at the very end where they're just like, look at all of these boys. And only Naruto turns around and they're like, fuck.
Yeah, that part's funny.
I hate him.
That part's funny. When Naruto turns around, that part's funny. But yeah, it's a all-time banger of an opening. One of the worst outro songs. Which, it's a problem. And I haven't watched as much anime, I believe, as both of you, but it feels like it's something that happens a lot, where it's like, okay, we had a banger of a opening either this time or last time, now we need a shitty, slow outro. Sorry, Kim. And the biggest betrayal to me was Tokyo Ghoul. I forget if it's one of Tokyo Ghoul's either outros or intros, the first chunk of it, also all-time great song. And the second outro is so bad. It's just like boring and you're just following like an acorn or something rolling. I don't remember what it was, but it was like, this is bad, it's boring, and all this other stuff. So I'm sorry, I feel like it's almost like a trend sometimes.
I agree. I feel like every time there's like a fast-paced, cool opening, they always slow it down for the ending. Yeah. It's always like a slower pace, you know. I feel like a lot of times sadder ending as well. This one's not particularly sad. Like, this one's cute.
Yeah.
Ow.
Kim, I'm sorry. We're not.
Kunai, you're throwing with your mouth. Right into my heart.
I'm sorry.
I was going to say, I don't think I've watched the whole ending in years. I skip it every time. So the ending you guys are talking about, I don't even know what it is because I just skip.
No, you guys are good. I get it.
It is as nails on chalkboard. It is the Hindenburg to me. But yeah. No, I think that an ending song used well in an anime can just be such an amazing kick in the balls. It's not done a lot, but I think a chill, sort of cute, nice song just doesn't jive at all with Naruto from where I'm coming from. Because I'm sure the boy is going to, like, fucking fall in a pile of, like, cow shit. And then the song comes on. It's like, all right, well, this is a tone shift.
Oh, my God. Yeah, I think some slower anime endings can be really powerful. And Naruto has a few of them. Naruto has some really good, like, slower paced endings. And, I have so many favorite Naruto opening endings that I cannot wait to get to them. This one is not one of them. But I think sometimes they can do a really good job with it. I think since Naruto's new in a kid's show, maybe they're trying to be like, yeah, Naruto did just get eaten by a snake, but look at the cute girls at the end.
Yeah.
Damn. I see where you stand.
I'm sorry, Kim.
Oh, wow.
Oh, you're fine. You're totally fine.
The first fight. Like,
the first fight.
Oh. I'm just like, my brain is like so simple by this point. It has been so smooth by watching so many years of anime.
Yeah.
I'm just like, cute girl do harmony. Love it. Thank you.
You know what? Take your wins. I'm happy you enjoy it, to be honest. I think it's good.
I just think that, like, and I don't want to compare everything to Full Metal Alchemist, but there's, like, I forget if it's Brotherhood or the other one, but, like, there's, like, one of the openings that's just, like, all right, yeah, it's okay, but they do the thing in an episode where it's, like, oh, we've been showing you this weird stuff that's been happening the whole time. And then they do the thing where they start playing the credits over, like, so we're still animation. And then it, like, cuts to, like, what's been happening. And then the ending cuts in. And you're just like, what the fuck? And then it's, like, ending animation is completely different. Or it might even be the same. But you now know what's happening. It's one of the boys drawing stuff underground. And it's just, like... That is one, like, top five anime moments of when an outro song that I thought was just okay got used in a way in the show that just made me fucking kick through my TV.
Gundam Iron-Blooded Orphans has a perfect example of that.
I need to watch that, like, really bad.
Oh, it's so good. It's also about child soldiers. Oh, yeah. The ending is also, like, a step touch song, but it is, like, so soulful and, like, it comes in at, like, the most, like... emotional moments that, like, I've got chills just thinking about it. It is a badass ending song.
Hell yeah.
Anyway, episode 27, the Chunin Exam, stage 2, the Forest of Death. Ooh. Here we fucking go. In the Forest of Death, they've got Big Centipede, Big Snake, and probably Big Spider and Big Cockroach.
Ooh, everything that is nightmarish, imagine it big.
Yeah. Imagine your least favorite bug, but big.
It's a lot. Yeah, they're going to Jurassic Park, children. I hope you packed a sack lunch, because good luck.
Right, that's the other thing, too. It's like, surprise, you're going to be in here for 5 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, hope you brought fucking snacks. Yeah. The Proctor Onko is super gleeful about these children dying in a forest. Naruto does the Arrested Development chicken dance as he mocks her and she yeets a kunai at him. She loves blood.
Oh, this moment, chaos. Just chaos. All right, so, you know, Naruto, in typical Naruto fashion, makes fun of the teacher, Proctor. Teacher has zero, like, the shortest string. And immediately was like, shut the fuck up, child, throws a kunai. And then she comes over behind him and starts licking his face.
She's like, delicious child blood, my fucking fave.
But we are not done with the tongue content, folks. Oh, no. Then we get the grass ninja coming up from behind, holding her kunai in the tongue. And this is just the beginning of tongue play in Naruto.
This was violence to me. It was, there's so much happening. Like, the teacher stabbing Naruto, good, because Naruto's a dick to every teacher, so he deserves it. It's funny. But with the licking, and then this snake lady coming up behind him, and also, and, like, the way that it kind of, like, zooms in and gets all shady for a second, and also made me realize, do I think all evil women are hot? Is this problematic? Am I canceled?
What'd that tongue do? Truly.
Truly.
Yeah, so some long tongue weirdo returns her thrown kunai with their mouth. Ninjas don't think about germs, do they?
Nope.
Tongue ninja is blood hungry, and Sakura guesses they're probably some kind of gross Dracula.
You
can't
have
to sign a waiver that says they're cool with dying, like they're at a particularly intense haunted house.
Oh my god.
Oh my god, she's literally like, I don't want to be responsible for your death, so you better sign this before you go in.
But like,
okay. No, you go ahead.
It's like, it's too fucking bad for Naruto and Sasuke, because, like, even if they did die and they didn't sign the waiver, they got nobody to sue for them.
Damn, ain't that fucking true? They're like, it's like, all right, everyone, bring your parental consent forms, and then they just look together and just, like, look down the ground. I do like when they're talking about trying to survive through it. Jesse's on record favorite characters basically says, survival, what a drag. And
yes!
I'm like, hell yeah, King, I agree, brother.
A mood.
So this exam is a survival test. They all start at separate gates, are in a race to reach the tower smack dab in the middle of the testing field. Each team is given a Heaven Scroll or an Earth Scroll. In order to get to the tower, they need to have one of each. And that means they gotta get the one they don't have, either through force or bamboozlery. 13 teams are guaranteed to fail due to math. They have 5 days to survive in the forest, get the scroll they're missing, and make it to the tower.
A classic. Definitely scratches the good brain itch, as Kim was saying, of like, yeah, this is a tournament arc in its own way. And immediately when they're like, it's impossible for all of you to succeed here. Good luck. Go.
Yep. Oh, I also want to mention, I love how Grass Lady does the long tongue and then Naruto tries to do long tongue and it's just very cute.
Love that boy.
His ability to be stupid at every single thing is just so baffling.
It's so good. He's 0% intimidated. Instead, he tries to imitate Long Tongue.
Yeah. We should all have some Naruto in us, I believe.
Truly.
Honestly, 2020 is the year of the himbo.
Yes.
Yep.
It's time to rise up and have less brain cells.
Yes. Smooth.
Also, you can't tap out in the middle of the test. Either way, they gotta spend 5 days extreme camping.
Oh my God.
They fail if all three team members don't make it to the tower with both scrolls in 5 days, a team member gets incapacitated, or if they open the scrolls and look at what's inside before reaching the tower. Curious cats get blown the fuck out.
Oh my God. This is stressful, but yeah. I'm sure nothing bad will happen. They seem to have shown the utmost of care and planning before.
Yeah.
Totally. They'll be fine.
Anko's like, okay, that's all. Don't die. See ya. And then, like, goes to get snacks or something.
Yeah, that's literally what he does, is go to get snacks.
Yeah. And there's so many weird moments and extreme moments that I felt like I could have taken a screenshot every 4 seconds in this, and they would have worked for either a reaction or, like, look how fucking crazy this show is. You got to watch it. Because there's so much happening in this first chunk of the episode.
Mm-hmm. There's, like, so many, like, different teams and their reactions, what they're doing to get ready. So they set it up in a way where you can't tell which scroll each team gets or who's chosen to carry it. You gotta be sneaky.
Ooh.
You know, like a ninja.
What? What? Like a ninja? What? Ino rolls up for some pregame bants, and she and Sakura just scream insults at each other. Choji and Shikamaru are made keenly aware that girls are powerful, and they are terrified of them.
They really... Like, Hinata carries that team.
Like...
Or I'm sorry, Ino. Ino carries that team for a little while.
Sakura and Ino, like, in this scene, they just start going, like, five head, dipshit, for, like, 5 minutes. And Shikamaru's just like,
yes,
she reminds me of my mom, and I'm scared.
It's like, we're about to go camp and die. Can you guys stop making fun of each other's, like, lip gloss and jelly bands or whatever?
Naruto goes up to say hey to Hinata, and her heart beats out of her little chest.
Jesus Christ.
This is a great moment where Naruto's just like, why the fuck is Hinata always so weird to me? What the hell's going on? Meanwhile, Hinata is like having a panic attack because she's like inches away from
Naruto. Yeah, I mean, this is the downside of big dumbass energy that Naruto has, is sometimes you got that, you know, a little bit of a strange served to you up on a platter, and there's nothing, you're not smart enough to figure it out.
She is just about to give him some medicine, but he dips. GG, Naruto.
Oh, my God.
She's, like, slowly reaching into her pocket, and he's like, what are you doing?
Oh, that's what I was going to say. Hinata reaching for her medicine is me when I'm extremely high reaching for my next snack.
Scroll time, baby! Team 7 gets the Heaven Scroll. They head to their gate and get hyped to die. Looks like all our rookie genin are spread out. We see two sand ninjas, Konkuro and Tamari, silently fear-sweating about the prospect of spending 5 days alone with their teammate, Gaara.
This is a great moment. Oh my gosh. I love that they're like, oh yeah, forest with giant creatures surviving for 5 days, no problem. Being with Gaara though, ooh, now that's a problem.
I don't like
I'm
it.
Just like, how fast can we get done with this test?
Yes. Because,
ooh boy, do not want to sleep in the same tent as this little lad.
I'm so excited to find out what the fuck Gaara's deal is. Everyone loves Gaara, and I don't get it because I don't know what he is. He has a gourd on his back, and I think that's cool.
It's full of booze. He's got underage drinking.
Oh,
that's
his
power.
That's a lie.
That's what everyone likes. I like it.
He's officially a cool dude because he's underage drinking.
Oh my God.
I did cut out a part of a previous episode where we did a lot of jokes about how cool it was to smoke cigarettes.
Oh my God.
and it did have the biggest laugh that Kim had for a while. And I was like, well, that's just for us.
Yes. Exam start. Nyoom, go the ninjas.
They're reaming through the forest.
Jesus Christ.
Hinata uses her special eyes. Everyone is hype. Tongue team looks for team 7.
Oh, team that scared me. Yeah. Oh, so yeah. Now we're like, okay. So it seems like they're not supposed to kill each other. But anything goes, especially near the tower, can get quite tough. You sign these waivers as if you're eating an extremely spicy chicken wing. But, you know, as soon as they get in there, these spooky snake lady and other people are like, all right, let's go fuck up Team 7.
Oh, yeah. They're like immediately, Team 7's the mission. I don't care about the shooting exam.
Yep. Yeah. Without saying it, they're like, something has immediately gone wrong.
Yeah. In the meanwhile, while Team Dracula is hunting boys, Team Inoshikacho's strategy is to target Naruto, but three enemy ninjas are immediately on their ass.
Oh my God.
I like that their strategy is just like, we're going to go fuck up Naruto because he sucks in his bed.
Yeah, that's smart. That's smart.
They're like, weakest link, we're going to go for it, and then we will hide in bush and curse Choji's chips.
Yeah, because Choji left potato chip trail leading exactly to where they're hiding.
Choji.
Like a little Hansel.
How are you still here, Choji? How have you not died on, like, you know, C-ranked or D-ranked missions already?
I love that Choji is technically the smartest one at this point because he's the only one who brought snacks.
That's
and
true.
And immediately uses them against himself.
Yes.
I like that the rest of the team, too, is just like, bud, you got to save some. Like, also, can we have some? And he's like, what?
Yeah.
No.
He pissed.
This is my 11-15 snack.
True. And we have to assume they've been rolling together for, you know, months now or something like that.
Right.
And
they
haven't had their episode where they learned and they found poor people and they looked at each other and were like, hey, maybe we have to work together. And like, nope, fuck that. All Choji do is eat potato chip and leave trail.
And die. But they're able to escape unscathed, which is fucking wild because potato chips are the loudest fucking snack you could possibly eat.
And he leaves an entire chip on the floor, which I find very uncharacteristic for Choji.
Yeah. He loved to eat, but he's not efficient at it. And I do find that distasteful.
You gotta perfect your craft.
Yes.
If you're gonna make it your brand, you have to be on top of
it.
Team Kiba, Hinata, and Shino are also immediately found. The rude ninja are about to attack, but the clever little bastards have led them into a leech trap.
This was hellish to behold to me. I hated it.
I would just immediately forfeit if I had to fight Shino ever. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
He would immediately take my scrolls, take whatever you want. I don't even care. Just do not touch me with your bugs or your leeches.
Yeah, like he stepped foot in the Forbidden Forest and he's like, giant spiders, giant centipedes. These are my cousins and I love them.
Yes, yes, yes.
This is my territory now.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Ugh. Nasty.
But like tree leeches. I don't.
This is
horrific to think about.
And they're big.
Big.
They're like pillow size. Ugh.
Too large in the wrong area. All bad. It's all bad.
Ugh, hate it.
I like that we can tell from this little maneuver that the only Genin team that has their shit together.
Yes.
because Hinata's just like, I'm using my milky white eyes to spy the boys. Mm-hmm. Kiba's just like, I sniffed him out with my special dog nose. Yeah. And Shino's just like, I summoned demons from hell.
Yes,
to kill
yes. Did you guys know there's fucking tree bugs that can kill you? Oh.
Yeah, they're just like, you gotta give us the scroll or these leeches will suck all the blood out of your body yeah. like immediately.
God damn.
It's wild shit. Meanwhile, Naruto whips out his dick to pee, but Sakura tells him to go in a bush.
Like, oh my god. What, 2 minutes in, and Naruto yeah. has to piss, and then whips out right in front of Sakura. I just do aspire to be this dumb sometimes. Like,
but like also Sakura's got to get used to it. She cannot see the dick from where she is standing.
That's true. Like she overreacted a little bit, I think, but also she's like a 12-year-old girl. So that's I will also give it to true. Her for that.
That's very true. She's like, excuse me, I'm a princess, yes. and I don't want to know about dicks until I'm 30.
Yeah. I am a prize to be won, Naruto. Yeah.
My sweet, untainted eyes yeah. cannot even get a glimpse of your skin.
The first time I want to see a dick is on my wedding night.
Oh my god. Did I tell you, I had a friend in high school who did not kiss her husband until their wedding.
Hell yeah.
No! No!
Yeah.
I had friends like that too.
Wow, that is too stressful. That's too much.
It was wild shit.
Yeah.
Got married very young.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You have to. That's the Christian way.
Yeah. Yeah. Like people who didn't do anything and then the night of their wedding, like, took their bra off and then just started puking because they were so nervous. It's like, oh, that's weird. 20 some years of fucking paranoia. Oddly enough, you weren't. You know, luge slided up. Instead, you're going to fucking almost pass out from fear.
Yeah. All this, like, pent up, like, teen sexual energy. Right. Just, like, mm-hmm. got to have an expensive party in the eyes of God in order to, like, suck a dick.
Yeah, exactly.
Man. Sucks. Sorry, Christian. When Naruto returns, Sasuke punches the shit out of him. Why are they fighting? Well, it is because this Naruto is an imposter.
This is too much for me in 5 different reasons. One, it's another extremely Naruto moment of just some batshit thing going from 0 to 10 immediately. And also because they're goddamn dating. They're boyfriends and they're dating.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Also, I do love that Naruto comes back. Fake Naruto comes back. And he's like, I wrote my name in piss. I wrote Sasuke was like, Naruto, you're too dumb to spell your own name in piss. I know it's not you.
In the Japanese, he's just like, man, so much came out. Like, shit, I pissed so much.
And to be fair, you know, I'm sure it feels like that's overacting for the other person's part, but you know, I'm on their side. I 10 out of 10 if they would have got the scar thing right, getting the, you know, some of the other things wrong, whatever.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah,
they nailed Naruto's character.
Yeah, they did do a very good job of impersonating like Naruto with it, you know, coming in being like, I wrote my name in piss, which I did love. I do think it's funny too that, yeah, Sasuke and Naruto are 100% dated because he immediately is like, no scar. Also, Naruto's right handed, not left handed.
Yeah.
Your kunai's on the wrong side, so you're not Naruto.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, so Sasuke figured it out because this Naruto, no scratch in the face, and his kunai fanny pack, which is a pussy satchel for our British listeners, is on the wrong side. It is a hidden miss ninja all along.
Oh, shit. I do think if you are an expert at substitution jutsu and you're left-handed, you probably would be a little more on the ball. Unless,
yeah.
Unless a lot of people are left-handed in this world. I don't know yet. We'll find out. Ooh. I don't know yet. My assumption? No.
I've not been paying attention to that, so.
Yeah, that would suck. You'd have to be basically ambidextrous if you have to impersonate someone. Mm-hmm. Damn.
Maybe most people just don't notice, like me.
Yeah, you'd be like, oh, Naruto, don't spell your name in pissed. And wait a second, you typed out Mist Ninja Clan Best Clan in P?
What will happen to our intrepid adventurers? Find out next time on Naruto Revito.
Wow, yeah, that's the end of it.
Wow, I wrote down Microphone Man, whoa, because
oh yeah,
that's a little weird. And then I wrote down, this end song sucks. I'm sorry, Kim.
This is violence to me.
This is violence.
This is, I would like to report a hostile work environment, please.
Asha's gonna come, like, do ninjutsu on all of us.
I do think that even with a half recap episode, not having watched the episode for at least 2 weeks and not talking a lot, we are still over an hour, which makes sense, I think.
Yeah.
That was still a whole lot of fun. These are some amazing wild episodes, and I'm so excited about getting into Death Forest. Not just because the fights are cool, but not just because we're getting to parts that I haven't seen yet, but because it's just like a inherently interesting sort of fantasy young adult sort of setting, right? A very tropey situation.
Yeah, I just love the Chunin Exam arc so much. Every time I think about Naruto, I think of the Chunin Exam first and then a lot of the rest of the stuff afterwards, just because this whole arc is, it's just so hammered into my memory because it's so good, and it's so emotional, and like so much happens during it, and you're also being introduced to the world at the same time. So it's wild how they do the world building and also like storytelling all at the same time, and it's very like fluid. It's all mixed together, and it's not like, well, here's our lore episode, here's our action episode.
Yeah.
It's all like slammed together.
Exactly. And like you were saying, Jesse, like this is a huge one in my mind because I feel like this is the point in both the manga and the anime where it really starts to distinguish itself from other shonen. Mm-hmm, like this is when they start to sort of go a level higher than most boilerplate shonen.
Yeah, yeah, for
this
sure.
This is where it transcends and like becomes a whole new fun thing.
Big
Love
agree.
It.
Big agree.
Big agree. Yeah. No, I'm excited. I'm excited.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, do we have anything else to talk about?
It does feel weird. Should we bullshit for the next 20 minutes? Jesus.
Yes. How about, I wish I could pee standing up. How about that?
Oh, it's great. I love it, man. Sometimes, you know.
Have you ever written your name in piss?
I'm sure I have. We used to get really drunk and then like in college, you just like pee places.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
You know what? I did too. Even though I wasn't crazy.
I don't know if I'm just like stupid, but like it took me forever to like get the right positioning to like pee in cups at the doctor's office. So like writing my name is a bridge too far. I don't have the dexterity or the hip movement.
No, I could never write my name in piss, but like peeing. Listen, first year of not Bible school, college was a trip for me. So I did pee outside a lot accidentally.
I just puked outside a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On campus.
The puking is... puking, crawling through hallways with pants half down. You know, the whole nine yards. So.
Oh, my God.
Like, oh, man, like, peeing outside, like, my inability to do it in a graceful manner and not just, like, pissing shit all over myself is why I could never go camping.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't handle it. Like, as an adult, I like to be clean. I don't want piss on my shoes.
I could not. I hate camping so much. Like, oh, God, it's the worst. I have mastered the clean pee, though, I think.
There you go.
So jealous.
You're strong. Yeah, Jennifer has peed outside a lot in one time. Since Boston has so few like public restrooms, it was like a situation where she was peeing behind like a pillar and then someone walked by and was like, that's disgusting. She's like, shut up, there's nowhere else to go.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And like I'm usually wearing like tights or like tight pants, and it's just like I'll pee right on myself. I'll pee back into the I can't do it.
Yeah, I don't know how she figured it out, but yeah.
People, girls who can pee, like.
You're the real ones.
Incredible. Yeah, you're the real ones. You're powerful, and I'm afraid.
All right, well, wow. On that note, I think, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wow. What a tangent.
Should we plug our pluggables? Where can we find the show at?
Thank you. Yes, I was 100% about to be like, the show. Okay. You guys, we have a Twitter, at Naruto Reviewto. You can check us out there. Every week, we announce when the episode is being released, and we also try and do a screen cap recap within a decent amount of time in the episode being released. So if you don't watch the show, that's a really good way to kind of get an idea of what's happening in the show without having to go through and watch the entire episode. So those are on Twitter. They are also on Instagram, which is also just Naruto Reviewto, as well as some of the cool manga panels that I find. And then you can also email us at Naruto Reviewto. So it's narutoreviewto@gmail.com.
Hell yeah. Jesse, where can we find you? Where can we find your art as well?
Oh, thank you. You can find me at Jusifers on Twitter and Instagram. That's Jusifers. I'm not doing a lot of art right now. I'm just doing a lot of Animal Crossing. So if I had a cute Animal Crossing outfit.
Your designs are good as hell. Thank I can't you. Wait till we get Mabel and Sable. You can share them all.
I want to share my design code so bad. Oh my god.
Yeah, I feel like I want to give you tasks like quests. It's like, oh, it sure be cool to do this design, and then you just destroy it with amazingness.
Yes, I would totally do it. I'm actually working on. So I did the mage outfit, and then I'm doing Yuna's white mage outfit
from Final
Fantasy X too.
Oh my god. Incredible. I like doing path patterns, so if you need any of those.
I do. I will 100% need path patterns in the future. As soon as I get that paving tool, whenever the fuck that happens. So
I put mine down by hand like a fucking fool. Like I'm out here playing New Leaf.
But it's so pretty.
Thank you. I like to draw rocks.
Yeah, your island's very good.
Yes.
All our islands are.
Powerful. Yes, that's true. All of our islands are very, very good.
Tim, what about you? Yeah, you plugged all your plugs, Jesse?
I was going to say, yeah, who's next?
Okay, good. Yeah, I didn't mean to cut you off.
I couldn't remember if you did all the necessary stuff. Listen to Dear Internet. It's an advice show I do with my buddies, and we dig into questions that people would only ask the internet, and hopefully try to enlighten people. You know, it's a new wave of internet advice. It's a show that's born out of internet advice, other internet podcasts, internet forums, things like that. We wouldn't have existed, 10 years ago, so to speak. So it's really, really fun. It's called Dear Internet. The Twitter's Ask Dear Internet. Just go to your podcatcher. Listen to it there. If you like Dungeons & Dragons, I'm on a podcast called Greetings Adventurers. We have 356 episodes. It's good.
Woo! Hell yeah.
And you can find me on Twitter at Tim Lanning.
Dope. You can find me on Twitter at Kim Catties. That's at KimWayMCATTYS. I'll probably be back on Twitter by the time this comes up. You can also listen to the anime podcast sponsoring the show, Transformation Sequence. It's very good. We talk about a bunch of different shows. And you can find us on Twitter at SequencePod. Our buddy Vince runs it. And the show's just me, said buddy Vince, and my hot husband just goofing on anime. If you enjoy this show, you'll probably like that as well.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
And also Love to Hate, where me and my buddies talk about things we love, things we hate. That's a good one. Wintercrest might be back by then, which is Monster Hearts, where we just get drunk and get dumb and be horny in roleplay fashion.
Hell yeah. Awesome. Right. Yeah.
So keep on believing it. Mm-hmm. Live, laugh, believe it.
Live, laugh, believe it.
Live, laugh, believe it. Yeah.
In this house, we believe, and also in this house, we do it hard.
In this house, that which we believe is it.
I hated you too, Sasuke. And yet...